Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and I'm asked all the time, where does StarsCast come from? Well, my first site is planetstars.com. That's the oldest site. I started that in 1998, and the webmaster that I had then, he loved the prefix stars, and I came up with it because I started as an astrologer, and I didn't want it to be, you know, S-T-A-R-S. I wanted something unique. And so I started writing names down, and he really loved it. That's it, he said. That's it. That's what we're doing. So that's how it became, you know, what it is today. But, you know, I worked for America Online, and I was StarsCast on America Online. So it's been around. My name has been around forever. So, but anyways, we have a great show today, a great lady. We've already chatted. But I want to tell you a little bit about what's happening. My 25th anniversary issue of Mystic Living Today is up. It's the text version and the flip version. Now, somebody said, well, why did you do both? I did both because if you know SEO and content, you have to realize that the text version has been up for so many years. It's got so much in it. I didn't want to lose it. So if I just had the flip, you know, I don't know how popular it is with Google, because, you know, that's the one that makes you or breaks you. And I talked to my webmaster. He says, I think we should just do them both, you know. So if you really want to see the beauty of, like, Billy Dodson, my friend, who's a wildlife photographer, he just texted me just a few minutes ago. If you want to see his beautiful pictures, and I actually got the photographs, go to the Flip magazine. So if you go to mysticlivingtoday.com and just scroll down a little bit, it'll say open book, and there it is. And you read it like a Kindle. It's the same kind of thing. Sometimes you have to enlarge it. Depends upon what you're viewing it on. But at first, I really didn't like it. At first, I thought, But then I started looking at it, and, you know, you can be real critical of something, sometimes too much. So I just decided, you know, I kept getting all these beautiful comments. Oh, my God, this is wonderful. And yeah, all over the world, all the authors that are all over the world are writing me and saying, because I said to them in my email, I don't know if I'm going to do a February issue. Oh, yes, you have to. So I'm sure I just have to find the right software. So do go there. Also, my other site is Stars with a Z, psychics.com. That's been around, was 12 years in September. And it's got $1.99 per minute for all readings. And soon, it looks to be, I don't know, maybe the end of February, I'm not sure, we will have phone readings. I have it all set up. I'm just waiting for my webmaster to set the pages up, you know, and you've got to have the payment method, and it's got to all intertwine with a site that's been up for a long time. And the panel, my administrative panel, is so big that he has to incorporate everything in it. So it's just not like, oh, yeah, throw up a page. I've got the extensions already, and I've got the people. I mean, they're coming from everywhere. These are real phone readers. That's all that they do. So, but anyways, that's what's new there. It's going pretty good. You can see the daily blog there. And that's pretty much what's on my plate right now. I really exhausted myself doing both versions of the magazine because a gal helped me with the flip. And she's in the UK, so she's 5 hours ahead of me. So here I am getting up like 6 in the morning. I just drove myself into the ground. And then I had to go and put up the text version, which I could probably do with my eyes closed because I know the software so well. But this other software for the flip was not that simple. I mean, I probably could have made it or added to it. But anyways, it's up. Go look at everything. And now, without further ado, I'm going to bring in my beautiful guest. That's enough talking about me. She's probably thinking, oh, my God, does she ever shut up? Yeah. But anyways, I have a great guest today. You know, she has written a book. It's called Life is a Song of Love, A Woman's Spiritual Journey of the Heart and Womb. Now, you have to understand something. She's an advocate for children, but I think she kind of goes into the inner child. You've probably heard about this before. I didn't even know what an inner child was. And I had this gal start working for me, and she said, well, I know what yours is. And I said, oh, geez, can't be good. She said, no, you're a princess. I said, what? She said, oh, yeah. And my guest is laughing. Oh, she said, yeah, you're a princess. That's what you are. That's your inner child. I said, but I don't feel like I am. She said, oh, but you are. And she said, she told me this, and maybe my guests will agree or disagree. She said, well, the thing with you is it's not that you expect it. It's that you deserve it. And so she said, you know, we could think of you as a brat. You're just a total brat. Oh, I want it now, and I want it yesterday, and all. But she said, no, that's not you. And she was my mentor. She gave me some of my Reiki modalities. I've known her for 25 years at least. And so, anyways, that's enough of that. We're going to talk to my guest, and her name is Dr. Sally Patton. Welcome, Sally. How are you?
I am good, thank you. And I appreciate the doctor, but then I'm not. So,
oh, you're not? Well, so you have a doctorate in your education, so.
Just a master's.
Oh, well, okay, well, I gave you another title. That's it. That's what you are.
Well, that's nice. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I had a gal work for me. She was Doctor of Divinity. So what?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with you. And how, I always ask people how they get started in the field that they're in. I mean, I know how I got started, but how did you get your feet wet? I mean, were you a young woman, you know, like in high school, when you went to college? What transpired to kind of, something pushes us over the edge, I think, that we have to, you know, just take it and run with it. And I feel that that's what you did. So how did you get started?
Well, that's a good question. And the thing of it is that there's not like a big bang moment when I all of a sudden became spiritual. But I would say that I went through this period of rejecting all of organized religion. And that was before I even got to college. And part of that was this sense, I couldn't put it into words at the time, but part of it was the sense that we were really missing something in organized religion. And for me, that was the feminine energy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, at the time, I really couldn't put all of that into words. I mean, I was a feminist. I went to college as a feminist. I was, you know, doing all this stuff. It was the 70s, after all. I graduated in 1972 in college, and there was a lot going on with the feminist movement, et cetera. So, but while I was in college, I did start exploring, like, the theology of, spiritual theology of religion. That got, and there was, believe it or not, a course on the psychology of religion that I took, and that started opening me up this idea that there was a lot more out there than the religious organization that I had been to. So I would say, though, that I put most of that on hold when I got married and I had children, and it was my, and I joined the Unitarian Universalist Church because it was the only organized religious organization out there that seemed to embrace all of the different faith traditions. And I very much wanted that kind of universal perspective. And so when my son Tyler was born in 1985, I did not realize it at the time, but he was an indigo child. And he came, when he came in, a lot of the indigo children, I discovered, ended up in special needs programs in education because they were right-brained children in a left-brained world. So it was this effort to get my son out of the public school system and into a someplace which could teach to children with dyslexia. He had dyslexia, language-based learning disability. And I realized that because I had been, by this time, I'd been working in the disability field for years. I had started started a nonprofit to work on mentoring people with disabilities. I knew about all of this, but it's different when you have a child. By the way, my second child, my first child is a daughter, Sarah. But I at church, I was asked to do a mini sermon. I became sort of like a lay minister, and I talked about what I was going through with my son Tyler and how that was impacting me and spiritually. And afterwards, I had so many people in the church come up and talk to me, and we put together a little group. And one of the mothers said, "If I can't bring my son to church, where can I bring him?" And that's what started my ministry with the Unitarian Universalist. I sent out a questionnaire and discovered that this was something that was felt by a lot of the UU churches around. So I was working in Boston for the UU Urban Ministry at the time, and I knew all about the grants and stuff that were out there for Unitarian Universalists. So I started writing proposals, and I got the money to write the book, Welcoming Children with Special Needs into Our Faith Communities. And primarily for the Unitarian Universalists. But that was my ministry starting in like 2002 through 2013, and I traveled around the country and worked with Unitarian Universalist faith communities on how to create beloved communities for every single child that crossed the thresholds into our churches. And that's pretty much what really, really started me on a very serious spiritual journey. So that as I said, that saw me through. And then my husband and I moved to New Mexico, and I'm living on top of a mesa, pretty much in the middle of nowhere, to Georgia O'Keeffe country, if anybody knows who Georgia O'Keeffe is. And I was very content to live on top of this mesa. And in the meantime, I had written my second book called Don't Fix Me, I'm Not Broken, Changing Our Minds About Ourselves and Our Children. And it was very much grounded in A Course of Miracles. I had become a Course of Miracles student, which was really what then started this feeling, understanding that we live in separation consciousness, that each and every single one of us is a spiritual being having this experience in a physical body. And so that carried on to my move here to New Mexico, and I eventually quit my ministry, and I was very content living on top of my mesa, just in a contemplative life. But life had other things in mind, and I was doing a meditation with Kuan Yin, a visual meditation with Kuan Yin, a guided one. And in it, that's when, because I've always done a lot of work around children and the inner child, and my inner child was very prominent in this visual meditation, and she gave me a book. She gave me a book that a blank book with the title Life is a Song of Love. And I thought, okay, and no way am I going to write another book. I resisted for several years, but obviously it was something that I was supposed to do. And that's what I had no idea what it was to be about. I just knew it was to be about the divine feminine. And so when I finally said, yes, I will write this book, I started getting a tremendous amount of guidance, and more so than I'd ever gotten for any of my other books. And it was very clear from the guidance that this was a book that I was not, that I was going to be written in a different way, that I was going to be living it while I wrote it, and that also there was no outline, that I was being asked just to write what's coming through and not do an outline or follow a map.
And not question it. You didn't question it.
And I didn't question it anymore. And
yeah.
And it started to flow. And honestly, I really, except for maybe one, I called them movements under the seven movements or the chapters, I really only had one idea on what the movement was going to be about. The rest was a complete and total surprise. So, and it was such a surprise that I couldn't, that there was no choice but to follow the guidance of what to write, because I didn't have any idea what was going to come from one day to the next. And I kept, the wisdom for that I kept getting was just write, and pretty soon it'll all come together.
Just write, Sally, and shut up and do what we tell you to do. Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
But that must have been tough sometimes, because I think my life is totally different than yours. Although I cover a vast area, I mean, my background is tennis.
Oh, really?
which I love. What do you think of her telling me, my friend, that my inner child is a princess?
Well, honestly, I don't know you well enough at this point to even comment, but it is interesting because what happened generally, and this came about when my daughter and I started working on the mother-daughter patriarchal wound, that I really didn't even have any idea what that was until I started writing, and until she started talking to me about feeling abandoned as a child and all of this sort of stuff when I had loved her so much. It was a very difficult chapter to write, but it also a very freeing one, and one that brought my daughter and I much closer together, and a very healing one. And in it, so to get back to your question about the inner child, most of the spiritual work that I've done around the inner child is around the idea that the inner child holds the shadow, all of the stuff that we really do not want to look at anymore. And so, I grew up in a time, and it's still pretty prevalent, where we were all conditioned not to feel. You know, women were suppressed, all our wild wisdom was suppressed, and we were not supposed to feel. And of course, with men, they couldn't feel because they're the ones that were supposed to fight the wars and so forth. So the patriarchal conditioning was really rough on both men and women. So, but what happens is when we suppress all those feelings, because we are told that feeling interferes, we shove it away and it gets held by our inner child.
Okay.
And so when I talk about the inner child, I'm hoping that when we heal all of the shadow, when we sacrifice the shadow, and in other words, we bring the sacred to it, we can all become princesses, and we can all become princes because we finally mm-hmm. love our inner self enough to free it to be our sovereign self.
Yeah.
So I definitely believe that when we do all that inner work, yes, you are a princess. You are your sovereign self. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. You know, she would always laugh when she'd say that to me. I mean, we still talk, but, I mean, I'd never heard that before, and I really kind of took it as an insult. Like a princess is supposed to, well, I should get all this. I should be, she said, no, that's not what you are. And I said, I've never felt like I deserved more. I just went along. And like you said, when, you know, depending upon the era that you grew up in, you know, women didn't really go to school. I went to beauty school. I was fortunate I got to do that. But that was it. My girls did not go to college. They got married and had kids, and that was it. Talk about suppressed. And it wasn't because it wasn't the money for it. It's just that it wasn't in the agenda for girls. And that's true. Although, now my mother became very famous in the insurance industry because... and I have to credit her for this. Sometimes I don't speak that highly of her, is that she was the oldest of 10, and she wanted to make a name for herself, and she did.
Yeah, but sounds like it.
But throughout all that, she ignored me.
Yeah.
So, and you can see that as a psychological point. You can see that. So I was put aside. I took care of myself. I was alone all the time. We have figured out that I probably had archangels helping me. I didn't have the help most kids in my neighborhood had, but that's why she calls me that, the princess. She says, because you see, she said, when you were a little girl, you should have had a lot more, and you didn't. So she said, that's always been brewing inside you. That's always been there. But she said, I don't see you as a brat. I said, I hope not. And this was many years ago, Sally, when she told me all this, and I took it as an insult. I said, what are you talking about? I'm not this princess. I think of a princess who, like, commands and all that. No. She said, you don't have to command anything. It will happen for you. She said, you know,
you can.
I guess that's what she meant, you know. You know, she knew then. She said, you will be revered somehow. And I didn't have my magazine at that time. I just had my planetstars.com, and I was working off of AOL chat rooms, and I didn't really have what I have right now. And she said, you're going to see. It's going to take over. But, you know, it's not been that easy for me.
Well, and the thing of it is that the language turned princess into some sort of demeaning, that, you know, that this is this princess who doesn't, you know, everybody needs to fall in around her. But that's the negative patriarchal meaning. The princess and prince, if we take away the patriarchal meaning, it just means that we become our sovereign divine self.
Okay, is that a good thing?
And that's a good thing. Becoming a sovereign divine self, because we are all divine selves. We have our God self. We are that. We are not this the person who is living in this body as a separate self. Because
what are you?
Exist in one
what is your inner child?
I don't have a name for my inner child. My inner child is just the part of me that still feels that it's unworthy, the part of me that feels unloved at times. And so the inner child is almost is the part of our divine self that hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention, because underneath patriarchy and separation consciousness, we were taught, we were conditioned to believe that we were unworthy for all kinds of things. That's how patriarchy was able to flourish. We had to suppress all of the incredible wisdom and creative power of the divine feminine. It had to be suppressed in order for separation consciousness and patriarchy to get hold, to have its hold. And so I see the inner child as the part of me that I still need to love.
I can agree with that, even for myself. I find myself many times thinking, you know, I do so much. I am of service. I know that. I am. I've always been of service, and that's what I am. But oftentimes people take advantage of a person like myself, and they expect, and they become the princes and the princesses that I do not admire, because they feel that they are owing, they are owed what I do.
Right.
So
right.
I have to, yes, yeah, so, and that's, that can be very true. So, and then I get down on myself because I think, you know, why do you do all of this? You know, I don't get a salary, and I'm not bragging that I don't, but I don't. I do this for nothing, all of it. But that's okay because I really love it. And so how do you say to yourself, well, Natalie, okay, you love what you do. So that, to me, my payment is my good health and how I look and how I feel and what I am. That's my payment. That's my payback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if so, you know, and I talk to God every day, and I've seen Jesus. He appeared to me. I had a husband that had Alzheimer's. It was horrible for me, but I had help that you just couldn't see. Nobody else could see it, but I knew it was there. And but my spiritual path really didn't begin until, I guess, I started Planet Stars. Because even before that, I saw, and, you know, I have a psychic site. So I worked for them, that it was a group in Michigan. I mean, I have a strange background. And I ended up collecting the money because everybody trusted me, of course. But I would admire them so much, Sally, and I would think, why can't I do what they do? But none of them could tell me anything. It had to unfold for me, because the whole thing of it was is they were not better than me, and I really could do all that they could do. I just didn't see it at the time. I thought that they were better than me, but they weren't. But it took me years after that to realize it. And then, of course, I started my magazine 25 years ago. Actually, it's 26 years. It was in September, but now it's, you know, it took us some time to put it all together. But I didn't know that either. And then I developed Stars. But still, the thing with me is that it's not about the money. See, even that running that site is like that for me. And people say, well, you should make money. Yeah, it pays the bills. Yeah, it pays the people. Yeah, yeah. But I'm not like everybody else. I'm not in it to say, oh, well, you know, I made $10,000 this week. Most of the sites out there, I have to say, are about the money, but I'm not. Stars is not about the money. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's what I am, and I'm not going to change. I mean, I'm just not going to change. I look at myself and I love myself. You know what I'm saying, Sally? I don't look at it and say, boy, you were shrewd today. You were real. I mean, I can be shrewd. I can be your worst, and you don't want to deal with me if you really don't. I mean, there is a side to me that's like that. It doesn't come out that often. It doesn't have to, because I buffer everything. I make sure. You know, and I think it's the experience that I've gotten with talking to people for all these years on the radio that I don't even know. I don't know you, but yet we're talking like we've known each other for a long time.
Yes.
But I think that's something, that's a knack that I have. And so, I mean, yeah, there is a side to me, like, don't hurt my granddaughter, don't hurt my son. You're going to see something you're not going to want. And I'm not, you know, but it comes from within. A lot of that comes from within. So people that are listening, that will be listening to the show, they're thinking about, well, I wonder what my inner child is, and I don't want to dwell upon that because I want to talk about your book. But how do you find out what your inner child is? I mean, is there a way?
Well, I think just asking yourself questions. Do you love all of yourself, warts and all? And if the answer is no, then your inner child is needing some extra attention and extra love. And,
yeah.
You know, everybody's spiritual journey is unique to themselves. And so you can teachers, you can read books, you can do all of that, but ultimately it's your journey, and you have to follow what your own heart is telling you. And if there's still a huge part of you that is consumed with fear, I mean, we live in a very fearful world.
Yeah.
And the only way we're going to get out of that fear, this fearful world, is to start to love ourselves first, all of ourselves. And that's including the inner child, because the inner child is usually the part of yourself that you decided you didn't like, that you just shoved away into the shadow, that you're going to be somebody different than what you're ashamed of. That's usually, we put all of our shame into our inner child, because it usually is generated when we've been children. After all, we have parents that they themselves have had issues as children also. That would be my biggest advice at period, is to learn. I consider self-love to be the final frontier. There are so many of us out there figuring out their spiritual journey, that are light workers, that are love holders, that are doing all of this work. Yet many of them, and I would say the majority of us, still have parts of ourselves that we don't love enough.
I'm sure I'm in that. I'm in with you in that group.
Yeah.
What I don't like about myself, Sally, is that I want to take care of the world and I can't. I can't embrace the world. When you are of service. All of your life, I worked in a nursing home. I mean, I've got so many stories. But when you know what you're doing, I guess what you have to do is just say, okay, I accept this. This is wonderful. Look what I can do that maybe somebody else can't. But to love yourself, that's tough, don't you think? That's really tough.
It is very tough. That's why I call it the final frontier. But when you really feel into it, how are we going to learn how to not judge and love a lot of the people who are out there who are actually doing some very evil things at the moment? The thing of it is, we're all offsprings of the Mother, Father, God. And so even though they may be so into fear, and wanting to hold on to separation consciousness with all that they can, they still have a soul like every other single person on earth. And how are we going to embrace them if we can't even embrace all of ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Our
That's true.
Own self.
That's true. That's so true. Now, your book is called Life is a Song of Love. Now, if they go to your site, which is embracechildspirit.org, they're going to see this beautiful cover. It's a cosmic egg, okay, in the center of a labyrinth, exactly. But the egg represents the womb of the cosmic mother. Now, you
yes.
talk about Mary Magdalene. I have an affinity to her for some reason. Well, I have an affinity to Jesus, actually. because he appeared before me once when I was really, really sick. Well, I was probably close to dying, but I didn't die, obviously. Somebody waved the magic wand and said, no, no, she's got more work to do. How did you come to all of this? I mean, I could never in my whole life, the rest of my life or previously, come up with something as beautiful as this. This cover, and it just sometimes a book, if you look at the cover, it will tell you so much. To me, it does. This is like it's an embracement of this egg, the snake. Snake's mouth is a rose, and the lily. Now you've got to look at it if they see your book. Now, where did you come up with that? How did that come to be?
Well, for one thing, the other thing to just explain is the labyrinth is my metaphor for the woman's mystical spiritual journey.
Uh-huh.
So that's why the labyrinth is there. And then the cosmic egg has been around for thousands of years. I believe it's some people call it the Orphic egg because Orpheus is who came up with the idea of the cosmic egg. And it usually, the cosmic egg is usually depicted with a snake around it. And as I talk about the cosmic egg being the womb of the mother goddess, and the snake is always associated with the divine feminine because it is a symbol not only of Kundalini energy of our that goes down our spine but and up our spine, but also it is a symbol of rebirth and transformation because the egg sheds skin and is in essence reborn again.
As does the snake. The snake does the same thing. It sheds its skin too.
Yes.
To get bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
And then.
So look out.
Then I had. Now, my son Tyler, who I spoke about earlier, he is now a tattoo artist and doing very well, but he's the one that created the cover of the book. I gave him the idea of what to do. But
that's the next thing I was
going to
ask. Who did it?
Yeah.
I always ask those kind of questions because people, you know, I've seen so many covers. Of books, obviously, and first of all, I love the coloring of it, you see.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to certain, a lot of people are attracted to, now my one side is a deep blue, which is very spiritual. My magazine has a banner which has kind of like a, it's almost like the sky, but it's not a sky, and I have a new one that's going to go up. But I think we're drawn to certain colorizations. I think whether we like it or not, some people like yellows and oranges and greens, and I'm more turquoise and blue. And you know, people say, well, your site, Natalie, is really you, meaning stars, because if you go to it, you'll see the colors. That's really me. Those are my colors. And I don't fight with him now. We don't really fight, but my webmaster has always wanted me to do a white background. I said, no. And he said, well, why? Will you listen? And I said, I'll listen. I said, but the answer is still going to be no. He said, but I don't understand. I said, first of all, I said, it's like every other site. I'm not every other site. And there's only one Natalie. And these are my colors. So, pretty soon, you know, over the time period, I mean, we have changed it, but I'm just talking about color here, that he finally came to realize, he said, you're right. I said, well, then why do you argue with me? He said, well, I don't know. I said, you go out, and probably same thing for you, Sally. You have this beautiful peach background on your site, very appealing, very soft, very warm. That is probably you. That is you. That's what you are. I mean, that's what I feel from that color. If you go to mine, you'll see, oh, there's some depth there, very much depth. You are of love. I mean, I am too, but I don't express it like you do.
We all express express it in our own unique ways.
I know, which is wonderful, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I mean, really, oneness doesn't mean everything is the same. Oneness means there's vast variety in the multiverse.
Right.
Vast variety, but we all exist in oneness. We all are of God, which is what some of what oneness means.
You know, you were talking about religion and that. You know, I was born and raised a Catholic. And it was
right.
Probably when I was about 9 years old, I made my communion, first Holy Communion, confirmation, whatever it was. No, communion is first. So at some point in time, and this is the truth, you're going to appreciate this. I was sitting in church. My mother, it was a thing. You had to go there every Sunday. Well, you don't really have to, but you had to. If your mother said
yeah.
So, you did. So I would go there, and I was sitting there one day, and I remember looking around at all the gold in the church.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking to myself. I'm, you know, I'm just thinking, I guess. I'm thinking, why is there so much gold? To me, gold represents a lot of wealth, a lot of money. Okay. Why do I have to come into this building when I can talk to God at home? I thought that then. And I knew I was right on. You know, and I mean, I didn't say anything to my mother because my mother, like I said, had a different upbringing, a different life than me. And it would have made her upset. If I would have told her that, she would have been angry.
Yes.
But because she wasn't as exposed to what I was going to be exposed to, but I was already thinking about it. The path was set before me already, only I didn't know it. I was just starting to question everything that was in front of me and thinking, well, yeah, geez, seems like this place is made of money. Is that what it's about, money? Already then, and you can think back now and think that's why she feels the way she does now. See, it's not about the money. And that was when I was a little girl I saw that. So I guess I've carried
yes.
it through. And I just realized
yes,
that talking to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we you know, our lives are not just random. I don't know what you feel about incarnation and so forth. But
oh, yes, absolutely. I believe in it totally. Yes, yes.
Okay. So we come into each of the lives that we, and if you know, Earth beings have had many, many incarnations on Earth, and we come in with, I would say, a purpose. And often those purposes are based on what I call the sacred wound. It is a lesson that we learn every single lifetime in order for us to awaken. And
mm-hmm.
we come in with in every lifetime with very specific things we're supposed to learn. And so, of course, it starts, and for many of us, and obviously for you, it started very young. It had these visions, had these spiritual insights,
yeah.
which is why you're still doing what you're doing today. It's very much part of your purpose and plan on Earth for this lifetime and to be part of the awakening process.
Yes.
Since that's what it feels like to me.
No, you're right. I believe you. No, I mean, nobody's ever told me that, but I believe it. I believe it because I'm, you know, this magazine, because it was so much work, I mean, I just drove myself into the ground with it, what had to be done. But, I thought about, and a lady emailed me that wrote a really nice editorial for me about me. I told her, she said, well, I said, I'm kind of sad. She said, why? I said, I don't know. I'm getting after this went up is, well, can you fix this? Can you fix that? I said, she said, okay, well, let's look at it this way. You were expecting people to first say to you, oh, my gosh, this is wonderful, because there aren't that many flip magazines out there. And so all, right away I dropped myself down into disappointment. And then she wrote me again. She wrote me five times in a row.
Yeah.
And one day, even on a plane. And she said, now I'm going to tell you something here. She said, don't you dare give this up. This is your guiding light. This is you. I mean, she actually, you could hear her lecturing me in a kind way, but uh-huh. kind of like shaking me, saying, no, no, don't even think about it. And then all of a sudden, whatever she said to me, I changed my thinking and thinking to myself, well, you're just disappointed because you, I don't know what you were expecting, roses and whatever, and it didn't happen, but it's happened today. I'm getting it today. And so you see, you set yourself up sometimes for your own failure when you really shouldn't. And she said, you're deserving of awards, and I don't know why you haven't gotten them yet. Well, I'm not about that. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, it doesn't. Knowing her, she'll say my name in my magazine someplace or another, whatever. But that's not really what it's about. And she said, you have such a great purpose on earth. She said, more than I have. She said, look what you've done. Yeah, but, you know, it's not enough, Sally. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what more I can expect of myself. I don't know. But I will keep looking. I will keep looking. But isn't it strange how you do something and you're so happy with it, and then you let yourself down because you're not hearing good things from the people that are in your magazine that you've done all this work for, you've promoted them, and they don't pay you to do it. You just do it. So you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I changed that. Once she started writing, she said, I'm going to write you again and again until I get some positive results back from you in email, and then we're going to Zoom, and I'm going to talk to you again about this, because she said, I could never undertake what you have in the last 25 years. I could never do it. And she said, and I don't know anybody else in the literary world who could have and would have, because she said, it takes somebody like you to carry this as far as you can go and still not be done. So but isn't it strange how you probably got that too. When you write a book, Life is a Song of Love, you probably expected everybody to say, oh, my God, this is so wonderful. But you probably didn't get it right? You didn't get it right away because they're going to say, really? Life is a Song of Love? You know, you have those that are skeptical of every little thing, but then you got to realize of who you are, who I am, and we're not in their realm, so to speak. There's a difference. You and I are of a different cloth, so to speak. We really are. We come from a different cloth.
Well, I think that humankind is on this new path of awakening. And there are a lot of people who haven't caught up yet with that. But if
a lot of them, well, I can tell you.
Yeah, but we can remember that we are all of us, absolutely all of us, created by the Mother God. There's not a single person on this planet that is not a spiritual being, does not have a soul. So, but many of the people are living in fear. Still in the three-dimensional fear.
It's I guess that's what it is.
Earth.
Yep. You're right.
But
you hit the nail on the head. That's what it is exactly, fear.
Yeah. And there really is only two things in this world. It is fear and love. And we're not talking about special love. We're talking about unconditional love.
Right.
The kind of love that has no ending and is infinite. We learned in separation consciousness to create conditional love, which is pretty much what all of us have felt, and only having glimpses of the all-encompassing love of Mother, Father, God. So or the cosmic God, whatever works for you, the source. Any word that works for you is the best word to use. So we are sort of like the front runners, those of us. I gather you, were you born in the 1950s?
I was born before that. I'm probably older than you.
Okay. So you're definitely a front runner. So it's this was something that you were asked to do, to come into this earth and start a process of people thinking about being mystics. I mean, we have this feeling that a mystic is somebody that lived long ago, you know, during a different time. We have all of these women mystics, and we think it can't be us, but we are living a mystical life now, and this is what is raising the consciousness and the energy of Earth, because there's more and more and more of us, and most of the children that have been born recently are all part of the generations that have come in with no karma, and they are going to lift the Earth into the fifth dimension. So we are well on this awakening process, and there's been many pioneers before us that have been working on this, on what's happening right now, and it just feels as if we're going backwards, but we're not, because everything that was created in separation consciousness, and a lot of the prejudices and all of the stuff, the racism and all of that stuff that has occurred, has existed almost below the surface. And now with all of the energy coming through with the return of Mother God to the face of God, there is so much more compassionate energy pouring down to Earth that it is bringing everything that was sort of under the surface up to be healed. So we have these wars. We're always going to have these wars unless they are lifted up into the energy of compassion and love. And that's what's happening right now.
When you talk about wars and things, that really hurts me. I really...
Violence is not part of who we really are.
No.
Violence is what we have created on this earth. And it has been part of an experiment, a very grand experiment for anybody who's here now has chosen to be here on this during this time of transition for the earth. And we will learn how to be both divinely, we will learn how to be both human and both divine, to become divinely human. That is what the process is, what we're going through right now.
Well, I'm sure for you, as it is for me, sometimes it's really a tough road to walk.
Yeah.
I am an empath also. I call myself a supra empath because, I mean, I have to turn on, I can't watch certain things. And part of it is because of the life that I've had so far, the things that have happened to me. I understand that. But I love to read. I am a great reader, and I use both sides of my brain. And I was told that by this gal that works for me, and she said, I just can't keep up with you. I mean, but that's okay. You know, that's okay. And I appreciate all of that. But, you know, I have a book in my head, but I can't, for some reason, I guess it's not time. Maybe another time I'll be able to do it. But it is very spiritual. But it's more like a fairy tale. And it's to allow people to see, and I always in my show with believe in things you cannot see, they really are there. That's how I end everything. And that's what the book is about. And but I can't, I don't think it's time. I think I'm so busy with all this other stuff. It's like, you know, somebody looking down and say, holy smokes, how could she handle something else? And that's true. I mean, sometimes I run out of time in the day. And that's true also. I have to stop myself. Like I took 2 days off, almost 2 days off, because I typed so much and I used my mouse, my hand was hurting. And that was a signal to me, you need to stop, Natalie. You need to get away. I have three monitors, Sally, three of them. And it's just, yeah, and it's just, I wore myself to nothing. I knew that. And so I did stop. I mean, I listened, and I did stop. I just pulled myself away, really turned the sound down on my phone because I'll get people, you know, I can hear it go ding, 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 and that just means that there's notifications, and I really didn't pay any attention to them because I had to take time for myself because if I didn't start healing myself, I would be worthless. So, yes.
That's the part of self-love.
I did recognize this, and I told my son. I just have one son. That's my only child. I have a beautiful granddaughter. But I told my son. I said, I know what it is. He said, well, how can you know what it is? I said, because I know what it is. I know what I did. It was my body and my soul and my mind. Everything was put into what I did for those days to get this going and up and running. And I just wore myself down to a frazzle, you know?
Yes.
And he said, I guess that's it. He said, maybe there's something else. There's nothing else wrong. I said, I know what I did. But you know what, Sally, what's really funny? I sat in the chair so long, I got cramps in my ankles one night, the night after it went up, so bad I couldn't even sleep. They were hurting me so bad.
Yeah.
And I figured that out, too. You sat in that chair at your computer with your legs bent. This is a signal. You got to listen to your body. This was a signal. You need to stop. You need to stop. You need to, and that's what I did. I took care of myself. I binged on a couple of things on Netflix. I had a great time, lost myself in them. But it did me so much good because today is actually the first day that I feel like I'm my old self again. Yesterday, I was kind of teetering a little bit. But I wasn't feeling good either, and that's what it was. You know, sometimes I think your body kind of shakes you. Come on, knock this off. You can't keep doing this, you know.
It does. It's the last resort. You know, if you're not really listening and paying attention and loving yourself and so forth, then the body will let you know because it's the last place where you will get some kind of a message that you have got to stop and do something differently.
Right, right. And then it changes your thinking. And then, I talk to you, sometimes I get these goosebumps because it's because you just resonate with me so much because you go to the core. And, you know, oftentimes you'll get most of the authors that I have are very spiritual. I have to say probably 99.9%, I guess. But sometimes it resonates just a little bit more like you have with me. Now, your book is available everywhere, I'm assuming.
Well, it's available from Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I do know that there are some books in some independent, but I don't know which ones.
Okay.
Yeah, you can order, and actually they ran out right before Christmas, but now they have.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? They ran out, Sally.
Yeah.
They ran out. That's wonderful. Congratulations.
I don't know
that must have made you feel good. Oh, my God, they ran out of a book? Come on, they ran out of my book? You don't want to hear, well, God, we have 100 sitting here, and nobody wants to buy them. Now, that's not a good thing.
That is very true. That is very true. I was a little surprised myself. they now have it in so that they can arrive sometime the beginning of January.
Now, Collective Inc. was your publisher, right? Gavin was your publicist.
Yeah.
Oh, Gavin. Isn't he the sweetest thing?
yeah, he is very sweet. Yeah.
Oh, yes. He just, you know, he mentioned to me because he was gone and he didn't really have anything for the 25th anniversary. And he said, well, what you could have done, he said, is written to the authors. Oh, I said, no, I don't want to do that. And he wrote me back. He said, why? He said, they all love you. He said, don't you know that? No, I don't know that. If I've not talked with them on the radio, no, I don't know that. And he wrote me back right away. He said, well, they do. He said, you could ask any one of them for something. I said, well, those days are kind of gone for me. In the beginning, I was begging people, please send me something for the magazine, you know, like the first year,
right.
First 2 years. Now, I mean, my mailbox is just full. People find me, and hopefully they'll find me even more now and maybe even place some ads. That's what I'm hoping for down the road. You know, if I do, I do. If it doesn't, you know, I don't worry about it. I don't lose sleep about this because I know I'm doing the right thing, Sally, and I know you
yeah.
are as well. And when we know, oh, we're going to have days, people say, well, how can you be so up about everything? We're not. We have times also when you step back and you say, what in the world? Why am I doing all of this? Why? Well, you know, my son told me a while ago because it was upsetting because my one site wasn't making money on him. And he said, you get so upset about this. And he said, why continue doing it? You know, and I looked at him and I said, because it's what I'm supposed to do. I can't
yeah.
give this up unless I leave Earth. Then I have to give it up. And then I won't be giving up either. He laughed. I said, I won't stop then either. But I said, you know, but he doesn't understand that. You see, he's not where we are. And he's
yeah.
younger. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it, the time of that he was born. But, you know, he said, you do this and you beat yourself up because you're worried about paying for this and paying for that. I said, well, that's, you know, that's just part of another part of me, that's the way I am. But I can't give this up. I said, what am I going to do? Watch TV and eat chocolates all day long? No. A busy mind is a healthy mind. You have to continue. You have to continue. So that's what I tell him. He hasn't said that because he was so proud of what I did. He said, I can't believe you took this on. And I said, well, I don't know what else I'm going to do. You never know. You just never know with me. And we don't ever know with you, Sally, because you're of the same, like you said, we are made from the same cloth. We are the same. And isn't that a wonderful thing to know that you have met somebody else like yourself? Just maybe the path is a little bit differently, but my path is to bring you out so everybody can know who you are. That's my job.
And I
that's
appreciate
what,
that very much.
Well, that's what it's about. So I'll probably be emailing you for something for the February issue, an excerpt from the book, whatever. I'll discuss it with you in email. But, yeah, that's
okay.
what I do. That's what I really love it. I mean, I look forward to talking to everybody. And I've got some real doctors, some real, you know, before they come on the show, we already have a rapport, so it's wonderful, and we had something, you and I, and I'm so happy you decided to come on my show. Of course, Gavin, he paints me up like I'm some kind of a, I don't know what. I'm his star, he said. Gavin, I'm not a star. Oh, yes, you are. He'll write me back. He'll argue with me. Yes, you are. Don't say you're not. You are. And everybody loves you. And I said, well, Mike, I don't know about my competitors, but in the magazine world, what I do, I don't think there's that many competitors with how I started this. And I mean, isn't it wonderful to look back to how you started, and I look back to how I started, and look where we are. We've come so far.
That's true. Yeah.
And we have more. We have more and more to do. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful that you decided because of Gavin emailing you. And, oh, yes, you want to be on her show. And, Yeah, it's a great thing, and you're a beautiful lady. What can I tell you? Your family's very lucky to have you, to have been.
Thank you very much.
Well, now I want to ask you something before we end this. What is New Mexico like, and why did you go there?
I suppose the short answer is that I've had many past lives in New Mexico, and so.
Oh, okay.
And past lives where I was very spiritually grounded and so forth. So when I came out here, it was very much spiritually guided. And in fact, spirit guided me to the land that Rick and I bought. So, and fortunately, Rick loved Mexico as much as I do, but it is stunning country out here. I mean,
I bet it is.
I am looking from my window in my bedroom, I'm looking at the red cliffs of Ghost Ranch and the Lake of Abiquiu.
Now, is it warm there? Did you have a cold spell? Is it cold? What's the weather like there?
It is cold. If you realize that the New Mexico desert is considered high desert. I mean, the elevation, I live close to 7,000.
A high elevation, okay.
Yeah, high elevation. And so when you even, and it's not, you know, like a Sahara desert. I mean, it's just there's vegetation. There are some junipers and there's some pinyon pines and so forth, but not at least where I am. I mean, New Mexico has like five of the ecosystems. So it's a very diverse state as far as the environment goes. But this is high desert. So right now, I mean, it's pretty cold outside, but the sun, because we're you know, the air is thinner, and so the sun is stronger.
You're higher up, yep.
And so even though it can be 30 degrees, if there's no wind, you can go outside and sit in your short sleeves because the sun feels so strong. Even
right.
If it's, yeah, it's just. That's the way it is, but we do have.
Now, does it ever get really hot there? I always think of a place like
does.
That getting really hot.
Well, it can. It can. I mean, usually the summers can get into the upper 90s and the hundreds. But then, even then, the evening it cools off. Because, as I said, it's the high desert and we're high elevation, so the temperature changes a lot.
Yeah, you know, I'm in South Carolina, and it's subtropical. It's not tropical like Florida, but I can remember days like in February, they'll be coming soon, where you can sit outside, have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and feel comfy. You're not cold. Now, right now, it's in the 60s. But come maybe February, we'll start to get blooms. I have a pink rose bush that's ever blooming on the side of my house, and it's got flowers all the time, but it'll start to really get a lot of buds, and you'll see the grasses coming back up again. I mean, it's like, but the bad thing, if you want to call it, is we have a lot of humidity. When it gets hot, like sometimes at night, it'll get near 80. If it's near 80 here in South Carolina, man, the next day is going to be like you, not in an oven because it's not dry, but oh my God, it's so humid out. Sometimes it takes your breath away. That's how warm it can get here.
I'm familiar. Yeah, I'm familiar with the East Coast, and I lived in Boston for over 40 years, and so even though it's not as warm as it is on the southern side of
like further down,
still,
yes.
Yeah, it still was extraordinarily humid, and especially in the summer. So I am familiar with that, and I've spent a lot of time at the
now
end
you don't
of,
get any snow where you are, right? You're not in the like.
No, we get snow. We're high elevation, so we get snow, but it doesn't last very long. We can get like we just. A couple of weeks ago, we had about 8 inches, but it melts usually in about one day when the sun comes out.
See, we don't get snow here. I'm from Michigan originally. I call that the land of ice
and
snow.
You're familiar with snow.
Yuck.
Yes.
Oh, I came down here because of my son. I would never go back. He said, Mom, don't worry. We'll go further south. We will never go north. I said, I'm not going north. I can't. And right now it's too cold for me. See, I love to be outside. I have a herd of deer that I feed. In the spring, I'll feed all my mallards, and all their little babies will come. Right now I have mourning doves and squirrels. And, I mean, that's me. I just have to be able to go outside. See, in Michigan, I couldn't do that. Because
right.
the weather wasn't good. It wasn't good. I mean, it's not a good state to be in. You would get whatever Chicago would get. I was in the Detroit area, and so I'm a Motown girl. But I was so glad to move out of there. And, you know, I can see buds on the tree right now. See, as soon as it starts to get a little warm, the trees start to think, aha, it's time. And I love it, yes. But anyways, it's been such a delight. We have gone over our time, but who cares? I've enjoyed this so much, and I'm sure everybody else will. And in a few minutes after, it takes about 10 minutes for it to extrapolate the everything on the recording, and then I'll push it out to my social media so everybody can hear. And my gal tomorrow will do a little advert about you and, you know, all my Facebook stuff. And I don't do Facebook. I'll do likes and stuff, but my thing is Instagram, but I don't do most of it. You know, I'll talk to people on it, but I have two gals, the one that did the magazine, and then this other one who's in Kenya, believe it or not, who does beautiful work, beautiful graphics for me, and so does Amber in the UK. But, I mean, I can't. I don't want to get involved with all that because you know what? It stirs up your mind. You have to take a break from it. So people that are going to listen to this, get off of your phones. Put them down. Go outside. Look at the beautiful world out there because it really is. So thank you again, Sally. I hope sometime we'll talk again. And I will be emailing you for the February issue because I do want to see you in it. And then I'll put a link back to the radio show. And I'll send you a link to the radio show just so you have it. And then when I'll send you the advert that my gal will do. Because she has to wait for all this to be done, so she will do it for us. So, anyways, you have an awesome day.
Thank you. Same to you. It was a pleasure being on the radio show.
Yeah, and don't change the way you are. And I'm not going to change either. So that's the way it is, right?
Okay.
All right. Have a great rest of the day. And everybody, remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there, and I will see everybody next week, same time, same station. And with that, I will say bye.